In today's video, you'll learn how storytelling, especially ones by video, can help build support for your CSR and social impact programs. We explore the trends on what stories to tell and the trends for video-based social impact storytelling. Let's get started. Hi everyone, I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So my guest today is Tamika Bickham. She is the CEO, founder, and creative director for the TB Media Group. Thank you very much, Tamika, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to dive in.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about creating stories, and especially on video. But let's start with what types of stories can CSR leaders tell to build more support for their initiatives and in their organizations? I think this is a very important piece because, as you know, a lot of social impact professionals, CSR professionals, are always looking to get more funding, scale their programs, and trying to find that support. Maybe in addition to executives, get that grassroots support. So like, how would stories help them do that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, first things first is that stories certainly help build that emotional connection with your audience, especially if you're talking that grassroots outreach that you're talking about. How is your audience? How are those individuals who are seeing that story really connecting with your mission and what you're trying to advance with this initiative? So I like to look at three different kind of categories of stories when it comes to a business overall, right? There's kind of that executive CEO founder story. There's the story of the business or the brand, and then there's your impact stories. So impact stories are typically what you're going to focus on when you are messaging a CSR initiative. And what I think is most important when it comes to those impact stories is that we kind of remove ourselves as the company, right? Because a lot of times we want to feature this executive or this leader or those on the team who are working so hard, but it's really about those that you're serving, right? The initiative that you're trying to advance and who is the recipient of that impact. So when you think about that, hey, who are those individuals? Who are those voices that can best demonstrate what type of impact you're having? And, you know, there's several ways that you can go about kind of identifying that and determining the best voices for those stories. But I always try to keep it on, the individuals first, those recipients. And it's not even necessarily one solo person, right? Especially if you're talking about sustainability or climate change efforts. And it's a collective as a whole, but really trying to humanize that as much as possible, while linking it back to, hey, this is what we're doing to help create this impact for these people.
You know, I've noticed, you know, when I first started in the space around 2020, a lot of the videos that I've been seeing or a lot of the stories I've been seeing, they really tried to pull at everyone's heartstrings. But I felt like it got to a point that you were trying to pull on all the heartstrings all the time, that it's like, it's kind of, it felt the same, right? It felt that there was something, a problem, something sad, and it's always like epic piano music, and it felt sad all the time. And I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, but I feel like for social impact professionals, yes, you do want to pull some of those heartstrings and show, you know, causes and so on, but like, I feel like some of the direction that we're going in terms of telling a story is a little bit more authentic too, and it doesn't have to be always like that.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that's something that I've been hearing from some of the clients that we're having conversations with. And I even remember this with a nonprofit we worked with about 5 years ago, and they said, all of our videos up until now have really centered around the gut punch. And we don't need to do that all of the time or ever if it doesn't fit with your brand or your messaging, because what type of feeling are you trying to evoke? So I suggest people think about that, because it can be inspiring. It can be hopeful. It doesn't all have to be, like you said, the epic piano music, right? And ultimately, there can be good. There could be things that you've already achieved and that are already good in place. But hey, here's where we're trying to go. And this is what a world where this initiative being advanced looks like. Now, of course, it depends, you know, what type of initiative we're talking about. Some topics are heavy and call for deeper and, you know, more challenging topics to cover. But I always encourage people to look at, hey, well, and that's a good point. If we step back, we should always be looking at who's our audience here. And sometimes, especially with CSR, there's multiple audiences, right? There's those you're creating impact for, who you want support from, but maybe there's another audience as well. So just thinking about what type of tone and how they need to receive the message to continue to support what you're doing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like on telling that story, a lot of the times, especially for organizations, how do you involve your employees, right? Because sometimes it's just maybe two or three people who are regularly either filming or being filmed. How do you get more involvement with the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. And those two or three people probably end up being the ones who are like the lead on the project, right? Who are always getting that FaceTime. I can give an example of something that we've done with one of our clients, and featuring their employees kind of came from actually one of their ERGs. And so they have the CSR initiative where throughout the pandemic, they're granting small businesses who were most affected throughout the pandemic, minority-owned businesses, with $10,000 grants around the country. And, you know, they saw a lot of success and awarded over $1 million in grants to small businesses throughout the United States. And this was a team effort because it was in multiple markets. So for one of their ERG initiatives, they wanted to highlight the CSR initiative because a lot of times your employees don't know all of the things that you're doing as well, except those who are directly involved on the team. So we were able to actually remotely shoot with a lot of those employees around the country, get their reactions to it, you know, share some of the stories and initiatives, and also get other teams who may have just been on a specific event team for one time around this initiative and highlight their experience. Or maybe it was just one business owner out of the thousands that they granted these grants to, that they were able to touch, but we were able to highlight, hey, how they worked with them and how they felt about it. And also how those employees felt about being a part of a company who prioritized and valued this work. So we were able to show like the employees' involvement in the project, their reaction to it, and their support for the company and what they were doing. And we produced that in a video as part of their live stream ERG event for one of the months that year. So I think it really, just seeing some of the comments in the chat, I think it really fostered a sense of pride across employees, and everyone likes seeing themselves and being involved in that process. So I think there's a lot of ways that you can get creative, whether it's remote shoots like what we're doing now. We've even done things where we'll give employees a little kind of a loose script or questions to answer, and they can even go and shoot those on their cell phones. There's ways to get creative and collect all of that and produce it into a larger piece. So if you're not able to, I mean, it's not always feasible, right, to have, especially if you're distributed, someone shooting in markets around the country, but it's kind of thinking outside of the box, hey, how can we involve more people in this?
And I know I want to touch on, you know, being able to user-generated content, being able to empower people to shoot with their phones. And I want to touch on that a little bit later, but we've been hinting on video, we're talking about video. So how can video actually help build like that support for your initiatives or your organization?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great question because ultimately when we think about video, the data is there. And it tells us that viewers actually retain 95% of a message when they watch it in a video, compared with just 10% when they read it in text. So you're retaining more information when you watch it in video. And there's also data that shows that when people see a message like a do good initiative, it activates these mirror neurons in their brain, and they want to actually mirror the activities that they're seeing versus actually reading it on paper. So I think that is the power in video. And just when you think about the way that you're able to see and feel and hear emotion and authenticity, I think that's easier to read and come across as authentic in a video versus if it's written. Because of course, I mean, we all know this, right? From like, whether you're reading an email or a text, we can all create our own context or read in between the lines when we are actually reading something. But when you hear it and hear the emotion in somebody's voice or the excitement or the inspiration, it comes across in a different way in video. And it's such a powerful way to communicate your story and connect with your audience.
You know, I can 100% agree with that because, so for example, the past, I would say 6 months, a lot of our, you know, for Benevity's paid or organic content that we're producing, we're finding, like, you know, when we split test or any kind of test or just publishing any of our videos, especially ones that aren't the highly produced or the animated videos, the one that we just shoot with our phones or really anything, they get the highest click-through rate, highest engagements, just like people, like we really try to relate to the problem, the audience, like what they're going through, which actually leads me to the next question is, what are some of the hallmarks or traits of a video that, you know, produces the kind of feelings that you're actually looking for in your target audience?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, first thing I would say is, leave the data for the reports, right? And we know the data. Listen, hey, talking to Benevity here, the data is important, right? That is so key, but how can we turn that data into a story, right? We don't necessarily want to utilize all of that incredible data you've been collecting and analyzing and measuring and making sure you're putting your dollars into the right place. That works well in a report. Right. So I would say it's kind of, that's the first thing to not focus on when it comes to a video and building a connection. I think it can be great in kind of anchoring a piece around a certain point, but certainly not overdoing it. You know, also some great qualities of a video that builds emotional connection is great speakers, right? Someone who can really be an authentic voice. And when I say great speakers, right, I don't mean like the perfect polished person, right, like you were just talking about. Those authentic kind of organic videos seem to do best that aren't perfectly edited. But I just think someone that comes across as authentic, honest, real, and it's not manufactured. We really focus on nonfiction video, nothing scripted. I put a lot of emphasis into pre-production, which is really just conducting interviews before we ever hit record to understand, hey, what does this actually look like, feel like, sound like for you? So that we can get to the heart of that and actually, you know, hone in and show that on camera in a way that is real and true. Because once you start manufacturing stories or I won't say facts, but you know, when you start trying to create something because it looks or seems like it would work better in a video is when you really start, I think, losing people because consumers are smart, right? We can watch a video and know what's real and what's not. So I think authenticity is really key. And it just takes a little legwork in the beginning in determining, hey, who can be a voice for this story that is true, that is honest, that is authentic, and then that just comes across on camera.
I love what you said about, you know, the viewers are smart. And I think sometimes organizations, sometimes brands, and we forget that, you know, we are talking to a more sophisticated audience. They're not just, you know, just because you slap a couple things on and you have messages that they'll blindly do it. It's like, no, they're actively thinking, like, they're going to comment. If not, it doesn't matter. Like they're engaging in ways that maybe you don't see on the platform you've distributed to. So I think that's something that we sometimes forget. And that's where we miss the mark on sometimes if you go over polished or really try to get it more produced, because I think the assumption is that the viewer or your audience can't get what you're trying to say, but they can. And if you do it in a way that they understand, they'll much more pick it up, which actually leads me to a lot of that. What we're seeing is a lot of success is on things like YouTube Shorts and TikTok. What is your like your perspective on like more vertical type videos that are more like that authentic and sort of like run and gun.
Yeah, run and gun is almost like my love language. Since I come from the journalism, broadcast news industry, that is really where I started and got my training. And I actually had to go a little bit more the other way and say, hey, we actually have time here. We can slow down. We don't need to produce a piece in 20 minutes. But I think, you know, we don't focus most of our time and attention there, but I think it's great. And this is how I kind of adapt content for that. Like I tend to focus on the longer, larger piece and the larger story, right? Because production ultimately, when you're talking about video production, depending on how produced you want that to be, no matter how you cut it, it's an investment to make into telling your story, and especially telling your story on video. But something that I always advise people do is think about, hey, this isn't just telling a story for one finished piece. How can we take everything that we've captured along the way, whether that's pre-production interviews, just like an informal conversation potentially on Zoom or whatever virtual platform you're using to connect with people, or phone conversation? Can we use pieces of that for quotes that might end up in our CSR report, for findings? Are there photos or screen grabs that we can pull from the videos or the raw clips that we're shooting? How can we take a potentially longer piece and chop it up into shorter vertical videos? So I think, you know, ultimately, repurposing always gets you further, but also thinking about going into it, hey, we know we have this goal of wanting to tell this story to connect with these viewers, but also what other audiences or what other platforms, or do we have a conference, or do we have an audience in another place that needs to hear this message, but potentially in just a slightly different way? So let's think about how we can utilize what we're capturing here and adapt it for social video, the TikTok, the YouTube shorts, the reports that you need to produce. And I think you can accomplish a lot even out of, you know, the intention of wanting to produce one story.
Yeah. You know, we've touched on this on everything that we've kind of talked about is the term authenticity. So how do you come across authentic in your social impact, CSR communications, marketing efforts without, I guess, overstating your efforts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what was interesting, that I saw that the word of the year at the end of 2023 for Merriam-Webster was authentic. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. I thought it was like generative AI or something like that.
It was actually authentic, and there was actually an article that said it could have been because of the rise of AI, that more people are actually searching for authenticity. So it was like the most searched word of the year, which really inspired me coming into 2024, because I was like, people are telling us that they want more of this. So how do we come across as authentic? I think it's a great question, and it's so strange in a way that we have to ask that question. But I mean, you already said it right there. It's certainly not overstating what it is you do, right? So I think keeping that at the forefront and not getting carried away with, oh, we could have this person, that person. I think leaving, and again, this depends on exactly your initiative and what you're working on, but leaving your side out of it, meaning leaving leadership, like, hey, a lot of times, I think we see this a lot in nonprofits, like, right, we're committed to doing this, and we do this, and we're so proud of this, and just always kind of putting that, you know, end user first, I think ends up feeling much more authentic, because when somebody else says it, it's a lot more powerful than when you do. It's kind of like that social proof, and then that's where I think also the pre-production aspect, or you could just call it research, or interviews, casual conversations, really comes in, and just always being in tune with those you're creating impact for, and just saying, hey, how's this working for you? How are you feeling about this? And gather feedback along the way and use that as your guide. I try to use that as my guiding light so that it's always true to what people actually say. And you can collect that information before you're ever getting to the point of, hey, we want to produce a piece or turn this into a larger story, right? So you're in a way collecting that data and getting that feedback as far as how are we doing here? And just let that be your guiding light. And I don't think you ever really need to overstate it if you're getting that information.
I also think that sometimes, you know, I'm going to go back to our question about getting your employees involved, because I know the tendency would be to go to the same well over and over again. So it's like, oh, if this executive or this person, or even like, we feel that our message should come from an executive. I'm like, I don't think so. I think when we talk about authenticity, when we talk about the people who we want people to relate to, are just everyday people that, you know, we have conversations with. And so if they can see that in the video themselves, essentially, I think this is one of the oldest techniques in videos. Like if we can get our audience to see themselves in the video, that is 10 times more powerful than any person or of influence or mega influencer, that, because that's more relatable than anything.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there. I'm so glad you made that point. Exactly. Like, we want to see ourselves in the person on the screen. We don't want to see necessarily the person that feels out of reach or out of touch. Not that your executives are, but, you know, you want to just see someone who's just like you, and you can say, hey, I relate to that person. So you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. So over the, I guess, like for any social impact CSR professional, what do you think over the next 18 months, what are those 1 to 2 trends in video-based social impact storytelling?
Well, I guess I will. I was hesitant to touch on this, but I guess I will, since you kind of sprinkled it out there when it comes to AI. We can't ignore it, right? It's here. And I'm getting that question a lot as far as, hey, do we utilize AI for our video or our production of things? And I think there's a way to utilize it in a way that makes sense, that isn't necessarily crafting your story, because I think that needs to come from humans ultimately. But I think AI can help streamline our processes, and when it comes to that repurposing that we talked about, or, you know, the things that make, you know, the work more accessible, from the captions to even just streamlining some processes like the repurposing. So I would say keep an eye out for that and see, hey, how can this help us get our job done faster, from transcribing or logging and those types of things too. But I think keep the heart of what you're doing with human efforts. And you know, the other thing, we spent a good bit of time talking about it, but I think Merriam-Webster told us that authenticity is here, and people are paying more attention. It's like the other side of the AI, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we have that, and we know we're going to see technology continue to evolve rapidly, but we still want humans at the center of this. So I think it's just continuing to prioritize that and that authenticity and that, and you said it earlier in the conversation, that grassroots type of feeling. So those are the things that come to mind for me.
You know, I was, I follow a lot of video content creators, and there was one video that I saw where the creator was like, a lot of my audience wants to see the behind the scenes. They actually don't want to see the finished product anymore. They want to see all the behind the scenes. So essentially, the finished product is the behind the scenes, not the actual finished product, which is really fascinating. The, like, what has changed since, I think I really picked up video in about 2017. So some of my inspirations were people like Sam Colder and Peter McKinnon and the people who were doing like the crazy B-roll transitions. But how the audience has changed to want that more authentic feeling, and being able to see, hey, how do things happen in the background? But when you touch back into AI, and I'm a big proponent of it, the one thing I feel is that because it's so easy to create AI type content, whether it's text, I'm sure it's going to be video. You see a lot of those AI avatars coming around. As we as humans still have that, we want that human experience and human connection that I don't think AI can provide yet. And I do feel that with the deluge of all this AI content that's being produced, the premium content will be the ones that are, that can't be like real live experience, online live experience, or the creators that, especially this important for CSR professionals, creating that content that builds human connection and, you know, like gets that feeling of experience, that real life human experience. I think if you can capture that, that puts your content above and beyond, because it's still at the end of the day, that's harder. That's hard content than you just typing in something and having your avatar say it.
Absolutely. It is. It absolutely is, because of everything that's involved, but it's worthwhile. And like, I mean, you hit the nail on the head that humans want to connect with humans. So it's just, it's sometimes in the subtle things that we don't think about. And there's so many things throughout the day that we don't even take the time to think, hey, this is a behind the scenes moment, you know, behind the scenes of our efforts that our audience would be interested in, right? I mean, hey, even you, maybe you set up a behind the scenes camera of this podcast. Now we've got two angles.
Exactly.
What's going into the setup? And
if anyone actually saw the behind the scenes of what this actually looks like, my floor is like a disaster area, and like my room is a disaster, but no one can know because you, what you see on the camera right here.
That's what we want.
So I know we talked about this earlier too, but how and when can CSR leaders use video storytelling for their campaigns and their communications?
Yeah, I love this question because I'm currently working through this right now with a client, and there's no one answer to this, but I will say a couple things. There, I encourage CSR leaders to think about this early on in the process and almost do a brain dump in a way of all of the places that you could utilize your story, right? I mean, there's the obvious ones from, you know, website or campaigns to social media, to different digital platforms, right? But there are also internal meetings within your organization. There are also conferences. You may be speaking on a panel or giving a talk where, you know, a produced piece could accompany or kick off what you're doing. So I always like to think about all of the potential opportunities. Now, that's a slippery slope as well, because a lot of times we're creating a story geared to one specific audience, and those could all be different audiences. But I do think there's a way to think about, hey, how do we create this story? And then how do we adapt it for these different places? Because you want as many people to know about these incredible efforts that you're making. So I think it's worthwhile to determine, hey, what can we do with this story? And like, what are all of the possibilities? You might not be able to tackle them all, but even something I'm working on right now is, hey, we are shooting a video coming up across 4 days. That's a lot of content. And the goal is one produced piece, but now we've been able to identify, hey, here's an opportunity for a social media campaign. Here's an opportunity to leverage this video with a partner. How might they be able to show it? Here's an opportunity for a conference that we have that we put on for our clients, right? That we could show this at. And hey, here's some pull-out quotes. Like, I'm hearing this when I'm talking to people. Should we set those aside for your CSR report? Hey, we're going to capture some photos. Like, I could go on and determine the various places that we could use this. But I think it's helpful to think about that early on. And I wouldn't limit yourself.
No, and I think that's where the creativity comes in, where we, like in the past, because we were, I guess, limited by whether it's budget or, you know, like time. I think now with like your phone is one of the greatest like content creation machines out there, and the ability to just be creative and with the audience wanting that authentic type content, it's becoming actually more easier to create that. But we just have to change our perspective on what we assume content should be.
Yes, Absolutely. And I'm thinking about a piece that we worked on actually involving, I want to say we involved about 25 different employees in this piece. Awesome. And it was a case where we gave everyone one prompt. And it was a very heartwarming piece. It was for internal purposes, but it was really to build up employee morale. And it was really fun to see. And I was worried about the quality because we shot everything else, 4K, professionally, highly produced. But we really wanted a way to feature so many other employees that just weren't in our current location. So we just shared a prompt so that everyone could shoot this on their phone. And we usually will send, some guidelines as far as hold the phone vertically or horizontally. Not everyone follows them, but guidelines are always helpful along with the prompt or two. And it just came across so heartwarming, real, and it really meant a lot to be able to see everyone, to be able to see all those faces that they knew in there. Ultimately, I think about our work a lot like documentary storytelling. So when you think about some of the documentaries that you may really love and enjoy, a lot of times they are not perfectly highly produced, right? Because a lot of times people can forgive quality when the story is really good. So the story is always first. So regardless of whether it's captured on a phone, it might even be just an audio clip with a photo overlaid. But I think that comes across so well as long as people are captivated by the story. So I always say story first.
Definitely. So Tamiko, can you tell me more then about TB Media?
Absolutely. So I say we are a nonfiction video storytelling company focused on helping CSR leaders create their social impact stories. So my background is actually in broadcast journalism as a local TV news journalist. And I always like to say I got into the business because I love storytelling. And I got out of the business because I love storytelling. And that's just due to time and resources and the way that the business has changed. But I think ever since I really started the business and it's evolved over the last 8 years, right? We've seen the way that brands can directly connect with their audiences through social platforms and really cutting out the middleman of the media. So I saw that as an opportunity to tell more positive stories and stories that could help make our world a better place through creating, video content and helping CSR leaders craft their stories. So that's what me and my team do now, and it's a blast.
So Tamiko, I can talk to you about content creation for hours, days. If our audience though wants to connect with you, learn more about TB Media, even connect with you in terms of getting your ideas and input in terms of storytelling and video, what's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm everywhere, but the best place to reach me is definitely on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Tamiko Bickham. And you can also reach out. All my contact is on our website, tbmediagroup.com.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.